I'm talking to Anne Cusick here in Clondalkin. Anne, you're working now in your own business here.
That's right, yeah.
And what are you doing exactly?
Well, we're making babies, cardigans, blankets, shawls, christening shawls, and doing a bit of embroidery. And knitting for other people, other designers that need fabric knitted for them.
Tell me about your family, your father, who was a very active man, I'd say, in his lifetime.
Yeah, he was. His first job in Clondalkin was assistant general manager of the paper mills when they were restarting it in 1930, mid-30s sometime. And he had been working for the ESB after he qualified from UCD. He qualified as an engineer. There was no separation between chemical and electrical. You were an engineer, you were an engineer. And he worked for the ESB originally, putting up the poles across the Wicklow Mountains to rural electrification scheme. And somewhere or other down the line, he was recruited by the people who had bought the paper mills, which had been lying derelict, and they were rebuilding it and they were going to reopen it. And they sent him to Edinburgh to work in the paper mills over there.
Why do you think they picked your father to do the job?
No idea. He wasn't interested in telling you about history, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's no letters asking him to go or that, so I don't know. So he went over, he was in Edinburgh, I think, for about a year, maybe possibly a year and a half. And then he came back. I don't know what it was named, the paper mill he worked in over there. But he came back then and they started rebuilding the paper mills. I think it might have been open at that stage. He started as assistant general manager and finished as a managing director. Not much promotion there. So that's all I can tell you about that.
And
that was in 1937.
In 1937. Who was he assistant to? Who was managing?
I have no idea.
Right. And could you tell me about could you describe your father to me? What kind of a man was he?
I have no idea. I don't know what you mean.
His mannerisms. Was he strict? Was he a man with a lot of discipline or
not really. No, not. He was quiet, just a workaholic, you might say. He was, back in those days, you worked 6 days a week. Well, you got off at lunchtime, but he did a bit of work in the garden afterwards and that's it. And Sunday, day rest, Monday, back to it.
And how many of you, Anne? How many in the family?
Five.
And how many still alive?
Three.
Where did you come in? Were you?
Middle. Two boys up, two boys down. Me in the middle.
You worked in the factory yourself?
I only worked there for two short spells. Once for 4 months when I was emigrating to Canada when I was a teenager, and my father wanted me to get some office experience, thinking that I could do with some actual office experience to get a job when we got to Toronto. So I worked there for 4 months, no pay, just working in his office, just doing run around office camp. And then with Denise Slattery was the secretary at the time. And then when I came back from Canada a couple of years later, they asked me to do some temporary work over there in one of the accounting offices. And then they paid for us to go, me to do accountancy at night. They paid for the course fees and books and that, and I did that by correspondence course over 4 years. That was that. And then I left. So that was that. So, so the mill, 37, and then the war broke out. And, of course, they had to rejig then the mill to make it run on damp turf for any old combustibles they could get, and rejig the whole place. And Dad was involved in a lot of that. And some of the older men had said to me that he was a good man to work for because he wasn't afraid of getting his hands dirty. If he couldn't do it, he wouldn't ask somebody else to do it. In those days, it was a very small organisation. It was all on one side of the road. So you didn't have the breakdown that came later when they'd built offices and the computer system over across the road. So then it was kind of them over on the far side of the road and the office workers here. But when we were kids, we were there nearly on Sunday, five of us and the dog trailing behind Dad as he checked out that would have been in the early 60s when they went to 7 day a week production, 168 hours. So he'd take us down probably out of the mother's hair and just make sure everything was going on okay, round and round. So that was Sundays. So
it was an extraordinary life. Was he totally dedicated man?
Absolutely. He wasn't an egghead like here. They were a different men in those generations. Like, if you look at the names of the board of directors, you've got names of the like O'Rahilly and the McArdles from up Dundalk way, the people that founded O'Brien's from Edenderry, New Ireland Assurance, I can't remember who that family were, but they were all, those men were dedicated to building up the country once we got our independence. They weren't looking, they didn't need bonuses to say, oh, we achieved this profit, so we're due a bonus. They worked because they were working. They were getting paid and they were to do, well, you know, that's a typical example that Dad always held up to me, and he says, value that when you're working or for somebody else. He said they were buying new machinery after the Second World War and he was going out to Canada to buy it or America. And he was in front of the board of directors and they said to him, Mr. Cusack, if you were paying your own money to buy this machine, would you buy it? Yes, Chairman, I would, he said. Fair enough, go and buy it. And that should be written over the desk of every civil servant, minister, junior minister, and anybody that has the use of somebody else's money. If it was your own money, would you spend it this way? And I would say a lot of the time it would be, no, but it's there. It's in the budget, I'll spend it.
So your father really valued the pound. He watched the money, did he?
Well, I tell you now, so like not a lot of people would remember this because you can just go wherever you want in the world, bring your access card, your Visa card, whatever. He went to America and he wrote to his mother. Because of currency exchange, you were allowed to take a fiver a day, spending money or something of that order. When a fiver, I suppose, was a fiver. But then he lands in New York and he's got two choices. He gets in on a Friday or Saturday and he's not meeting the man he's buying them, seen about buying the machinery. This could have been the same trip as if it was your money. And he could either pay for his hotel room or pay for his food. So he didn't eat for the weekend because he had no money, because with currency controls he couldn't take out money. So on the Monday when he meets this man and they're having a cup of coffee and he's like, you can have biscuits. And your man said, what's the story? And he says, I can't afford to eat and stay in the hotel. So your man just gave him money and put it on the bill for the machine, because that's the way it was then. People had no money in the 50s.
All right, yes.
And people have forgotten that we came from that until then, you know.
Was your father a very Republican-minded person, do you think? What would his politics be?
He wouldn't be Republican in that his father was involved. His father was involved in Kildare in the Republican, in the War of Independence and then the Civil War. And as a young child, my father and his siblings had the black and tans raid the house so often that he just wanted to know nothing about that kind of thing. Once it was thing, it was, we have our country now, let's get on with it, let's build it up, don't look back, don't. They were too close to that violence of that time and too many people died. Forget it, he wasn't into history. He was into general history, like you don't know yourself unless you know where you came from. But he wouldn't get himself involved in this, talking about that kind of thing. He would say, well, in 1950 we built this, in 1960 we did this. But he wouldn't be into the history part of it.
Was he not?
No.
And so, but he was a man who, I suppose, he got on extremely well with his, the people that worked around him, the staff, the...
I presume so. I wouldn't know about that, really.
I mean, yes, I suppose he wasn't troubled, was he? He didn't bring his work home with him. Was that some, or did he? Was he a man that that would have done that too?
He did work. He's making sure that the paper mills kept going and that there was no problems was, yes, that was his job. Get the money in, make sure everybody's there. Later on when it got bigger and they had acquired extra companies, it was spread out, so he wasn't involved in the day-to-day stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But that would have been in the, I suppose, the 70s when they took over. Well, first of all, Drimna Paper Mills, and then Sagart Paper Mills, and then Bailey Gibson, Gibson Guy and Company, and so on and so forth. That's all I can tell you.
So the business was growing and growing and developing all the time, and so the bigger responsibilities, more to do, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
all the time. You say that you were there and you were working on accounts, so you would have seen how things were developing.
No, I was only there for three years, and then I went off on my own. So after that would have been the early 70s. After that, I know nothing about nothing about it at all.
But for the short time you did work there, did you feel? You were the boss's daughter. I mean, was there privileges, or did you feel that you were, you were seen that way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you just went in, did your hours, did the work, made sure you did it right. Left again. No. I suppose people would look and say, oh, yeah, the boss's daughter, but... I mean, I don't think so. I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody else, did they look at me as the boss's daughter, but I didn't.
Yeah. Coming from Clondalkin here and the paper mills, which was such an employer of local people, and you could see it in the landscape. It was a huge complex of buildings.
Yeah.
The whole village grew up around it.
I suppose it would have done. Yeah. Yeah.
And you grew up with it. So did you find that you were part of this? That you this was, even though you didn't work there after 3 years, that you were very connected to it because of.
Well, I suppose you were. It was a constant presence there, but I mean, it didn't impinge. When you're a teenager or sub teenager, you don't really notice it. It's just part of the natural landscape.
Yeah, and. So when you left, did you leave because you got another, that you wanted to do, you wanted to get away, or that you wanted to be your own person?
Yeah, no, I just was going for a little amble around Europe, so I just quit and went for a hitch around Europe.
Back in the 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, the late, no, that'd be the 70s. Yeah, it was about the end, middle 70s when I left. Yeah, it was safe to hitch then.